Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We are really excited to have you here today with us. You are listening to KRUU's 100.1 in your FM dial, Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. And today we are talking about guns. After another mass shooting last night, it's time to bring back that conversation and find a new way to address this issue. So you could contact us, because this will be a controversial one today, at scott@ardencenter.com. And I'm here with my co-host, Danielle. Danielle, tell us about it.
Hello. My name is Danielle McWilliams. And yes, we do have a very interesting show to talk about today. Again, if you have any questions, or we'd love to hear your ideas surrounding this topic and any other topic that we discuss, you can reach us at scott@ardencenter.com. That is S-C-O-T-T at A-R-D-E-N-T-C-E-N-T-R.com.
All right. And you could also look up shows. So the shows are archived at KRUUFM.com. And they're also archived as videos at Arden Center's website. You could get to it from the website, ardencenter.com, or the YouTube channel, Arden Counseling Center. All right. So let's get into our topic today. All about guns. So there's another mass shooting last night, and the thought that it is once again another, and that's the pejorative term, another. And every day there are shootings in this country, and there are mass shootings, four or more, throughout the country. Well, this one had over 50 people killed, over 53 more injured, and people. We could talk about, is the person an extremist, a Muslim extremist, related to ISIS or ISIS philosophy, or for whatever reason they're doing it, maybe they're anti-LGBTQ, and that's why they killed people, and that was their excuse that those people shouldn't live. Like, you could be against something, but does that mean they shouldn't be alive? And all kinds of other rationales. But when we start thinking about the mental health issues of guns, it really brings up all kinds of issues. And one of the places I want to start is exactly what that issue is. You know, guns are going to people because they have mental health issues. Well, first of all, most guns are legal, and they're not being by people who have, quote unquote, already defined mental health issues. So we could go down the statistics, and that's part of this whole thing, is what statistics are we pulling out? And at some time we're going to do a show on how statistics are generated and how studies are made, and so misleading, so people could cherry pick what studies they want. But saying there's mental health issues, there's absolutely mental health issues, but mental health concerns are not being adequately funded in this country, nor will they ever be adequately funded. And even if they are, will mental health issues get addressed on a large enough scale?
I think it's, you know, interesting to bring that up, Scott, because, you know, you think about the Colorado theater shooting.
Yes.
James Holmes, I believe his name was. He was suffering from, I believe, schizophrenia. They said, I'm not sure how treated it was. It sounds like he had tried to treat it in the past and it didn't prove to be successful. This led into me having a discussion with a friend once, and she had brought up that people that commit these crimes, so let's say even the man last night who committed this horrible act, that people that are committing these crimes are suffering from mental illness. When in reality, that it could be true, but the reality is individuals who suffer from mental illness are actually more likely to be victims of mass shootings than they are to commit mass shootings. And I think it's just, it's interesting because it certainly ties in together. You know, there's no secret that more guns equals more homicides, more suicides.
Well, again, statistics are often cherry-picked. Here's one. 23% of shooters have a DSM diagnosis. only 23%. That doesn't mean, obviously, if you're somebody with a gun and you're about to be homicidal, the very definition is you've got a mental illness. Does that mean that somebody's going to be able to catch it beforehand and actually a therapist, a competent therapist, is going to help be able to prevent it?
Right.
So, again, there's arguments on all sides here, and it's pretty hard after another mass shooting to stay neutral. But the issue is so much larger than just guns, because we could talk about issues of statistics. We can talk about issues of mental health issues. We could talk about the larger system that's been put in place with power structures of who gains, right? As the old saying goes, follow the money, right? So who gains by there being guns there? How does the NRA gain, apart from members? Does it not, you know, or gun manufacturers? Where does the money go? Right. Where, what happens when there's a shooting, and where does the money go? How, the years of rehab for the ones that survive.
Right.
You know? So there's many ways to start approaching the argument or the discussion of guns. And I think it's really interesting to look at the larger perspective of what it is we want to create. So when we think about issues in our life, we often think about, oh, this is the problem. I am depressed, let's say. But I think a much bigger discussion is, what does that depression mean? Right? Who is defining what that depression means, and then what to do about it? Who profits from that depression? And are people invested in trying to have a cure or to prevent problems, or are they trying to find a way to enhance that? So in guns, are people in fact profiting by having more and more guns? And then what is their inspiration or motivation to limit those guns? Why would they want to?
I mean, do you think it's fair to say that with guns, a lot of it could be fear-driven? You know, we live in a society where, you know, especially in, I would say, in the United States, where you look at kind of, again, I know statistics can be skewed, and but, you know, we're living in a country where there's a higher percentage of mass shootings here than anywhere else in the world. Why is that? Are we a culture that has just, there's just so much fear? There's, because now we feel like we have to protect ourselves. But it's the individuals who are committing the shootings. These are not individuals that appear to be wanting to protect themselves. So what is it? Is it fear-driven for them? Or is it, like you said, like was last night, was he part of some terrorism group trying to, you know, fulfill some kind of whatever it is?
Ideology, some belief that
he has, you know? Or you look at people like James Holmes, who was he so symptomatic at that time that he was having voices in his head that were telling him to commit that crime?
How did he get the guns, and why didn't he get the proper therapeutic intervention beforehand?
Right.
I mean, there's so many ways to look at the argument, the discussion, but for yourself, I think it's always good to come back to who you are, you know, who's listening to this now, and go, or for each of us, what is it we want to create for our lives? And getting stuck in the fear mode, as you said, Danielle, really traps somebody. And if we're voting out of fear, we're against those immigrants because they might do this. We're against that group or this group or, you know, a politician who's stirring up fear or racism or bigotry or misogynism over and over again. Are they doing it, again, to profit for themselves, or are they trying to make the system better? And how are they making it better? By putting somebody else down. By increasing fear, doesn't that hurt all of us?
Right.
So what is it we're trying to create? And for yourself, what is it you really want to create for your life?
Well, and I think too, not only what are we trying to create for ourselves, but what are we trying to create for as a society? You know, you could you think about people where, so let's say they do increase gun control laws and they make it so that guns aren't as easily accessible, or they, you know, ban, however they do stricter background checks, whatever it is that, you know, when people call for stricter gun control, whatever that looks like. But then you also are always going to have the other side, the people who they're going to try to find ways around it. They're going to start, you know, sneaking things in. You think of, like, you know, back when they had bans on alcohol, and people still, you know, there's behind the scenes stuff that's going on. So at what point is it that, what are we trying to create as a society, and how do we balance it so that it doesn't become almost this war on guns?
Well, again, how do you win your life? How do you want to control your life? What is it you want for your... I mean, yes, we all want safety. You know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, he started, you know, the basic ones. But we can't stay there. Mm-hmm. We're here to be alive for so much more. Right. So what is it we want to create out of our lives?
You know, when I think of guns, though, too, you think of there's different kinds of guns. You know, there's handguns, there's shotguns, there's rifles, all used for different purposes. Mm-hmm. You know, I come from a family, we never owned guns. And then I married into a family who they do own guns because they hunt. So it's for me, you know, when I think about guns, it's trying to understand for the people that do own them, what, you know, the purpose behind it. Is it because they're trying to protect themselves? Is it because they live in some kind of world where maybe it's fear driven? Is it just strictly because they use them to hunt animals and that's it? But I guess at what point does it become a safety issue? At what point does it become part of the bigger picture of everything that's going on in the world?
Well, if you're hunting, do you need a machine gun?
No.
Having a machine gun, does that really keep you safe?
Right.
Right? And, you know, the whole argument, guns don't kill people, people kill people. Well, that's true, except there's a difference between somebody killing somebody with a knife, which is very difficult, compared to somebody trying to kill somebody with a machine gun. So the guy who did it last night had multiple rounds and multiple guns and a machine gun. You know,
well,
he wasn't hunting.
Right. Well, he was hunting people. And right. I think that's something to keep in mind, too. The individuals that do this, this isn't like they don't just wake up one morning and think, you know what, I'm just going to go kill a bunch of people. I mean, these are people who are taking the time to plan. They're taking the time to do as much damage as they possibly can, kill as many people in the shortest amount of time before law enforcement shows up, before somebody intervenes. So they try to come up with, you know, these plans of how, like I said, they can take the most lives, you know, for whatever it is, because in their lives, maybe they're trying to create something. Maybe for them, they're trying to create fear for people, or they're, you know, it's...
Well, that's right. And then again, it's getting trapped in that fear.
Right.
All right. So let's go through a couple more of these. Mm-hmm. And again, the goal of this, as in all our talks, is really for you to think for yourself, to think through and to not make things all or nothing arguments as much as we want to. It's go, well, what works for you, what works for your family, your friends, your neighborhood, your world, what makes sense to make your world better and to make a difference in this world. So, all right, more guns equals more homicides, that's for sure, but also more guns also equal a lot more suicides. And again, these aren't cherry-picked things. These are, you know, we give lots of details here.
Yeah.
I don't want to run down lots of statistics today. And most of the public really does support some gun control to make it more sensible. Again, if you're a hunter and you're wanting a shotgun to kill a deer that's been overpopulated, it's a very different argument than I need multiple machine guns to keep myself safe. You know, I had a client that I was doing video conferencing with in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And her husband had just come back from the war and had terrible PTSD. And it was disturbing when I said, show me your house. And there were loaded guns mm-hmm. around the house. There was actual machine gun there,
mm-hmm.
assault rifle that he left out.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't keep her safe. They had a little child crawling around where mm-hmm. guns were.
Mm-hmm.
Is not keeping anybody safe.
Right.
And he had bad PTSD. He needed support
mm-hmm.
that he was trying to protect himself by the fear in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's again the bigger argument of what it is you're trying to create. And yes, you know, it does make sense to have safety.
Absolutely.
You know, we all want the same thing. We should be all on the same page. But, you know, most massacres really do utilize legal weapons. And banning guns really does save lives. But that's actually the bigger point that I want to make is, and I know I'm sounding one-sided, so I apologize for that because I'm really trying not to here.
Well, I think you're just trying to kind of point out the, you know, here are the facts about owning guns. You know, yes, things have, you know, it is true that more guns equals more homicides, more suicides. There's a certain element of safety, you know, in the story that you shared. You have a man who has PTSD, who maybe isn't getting treated, or he's in the process of starting to get treated properly, but who's to say that something doesn't trigger him? And now you have these loaded guns there.
Right.
And
the safety concerns
kind of accident
are, this is not keeping him safe
right.
from somebody coming to his house.
Right.
By the way, you're listening to Mental Health Matters, KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. Today we're talking about guns. But really the bigger question of what it is you want to create for your life. So we're using the argument and the discussion of guns for you to think about through, replace the word gun with something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's another safety issue in your life that you're creating to not address what's going on with you or your family or your world around you? Okay, so on to the bigger point then about guns. Again, replace it with something else. My wife's Australian, and so I've heard this argument for years, that they had just as many mass shootings per population in Australia before they had one really big one in a town called Port Arthur in 1996. And 2 weeks later, the government got it together, unlike our government, got it together to actually do something about it. What they did is they, around 655,000 guns, automatic and semi-automatic weapons, were destroyed because people turned them in. They got that it wasn't keeping them safe. And it doesn't mean that there has never been another killing there, because certainly it is an industrialized country, and it's a beautiful one. If you've never gone there, someday everybody should go there. But the first decade, there was a 59% drop in gun-related homicides, just single homicides. There was such a reduction. There's never been a single mass shooting or mass killing incident in Australian history since 1996, since they did this.
I thought there was one recently.
No. There was recently.
Was it something
so
in a, or
it was an ISIS
it a,
guy came oh. in, and he came in, and right, it's true. How did he get a gun in the country
right.
and to do this? But apart from some terrorists to do it, right, which you're right, there was one person. And so the laws needed to change to get even stronger, which I know people are afraid of here. But having more guns didn't keep people safe. It made them less safe.
Is it possible to, you know, and this is just me kind of talking out loud and wondering, you know, because our country, I think the United States is, we're a lot different than most countries in our views on a lot of different topics.
Yep.
You know, so does that make us kind of a target? So let's say you start putting more stricter gun control laws into place and we start removing guns. So, okay, it starts to decrease homicide, suicide, that kind of stuff. But then does it increase, you know, black market sales? Does it increase, are
like
we now putting a target?
Drinking or something.
Right. Like now are we putting a bigger target on our backs because we don't have those weapons? Or, you know, I think of like Boston Marathon.
Yes.
You know, they didn't use guns. They used pressure cookers, crock pots,
know,
things that you have in your everyday home.
So what's the bigger question then that we should be addressing to not only keep ourselves safe, but to make a difference in the world? It isn't just an argument about guns or non-guns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly there's an easy argument to be made with better gun regulation, that the loopholes at the gun shows are removed, that, you know, people don't need assault rifles to go hunting. You know, if you're, you know, if it's a sport and you're using it in a proper way and you're sane, which all of us goes crazy every now and then. But, you know, the bigger question isn't just about guns. It's what is it the kind of world we want to create for ourselves?
Absolutely.
How do we keep ourselves safe? But also, what do we really want for our lives?
Something, too, that really stood out as you were kind of reading through the article, you had mentioned that they had said that the statistic of only 23% of people who, was it, that own guns meet, like, the DSM.
Yeah.
I find that number to be really low. And I think, you know, you and I, being in the mental health field, everybody, I would say a large portion of people fit the DSM somewhere.
Or at some time. I mean, you're telling me you've never had an argument with your partner where it's gotten out of control,
or
you're drinking too much and shouldn't have been doing something.
Right.
Or
just, so I mean, and that's what I'm saying. It's and there's people out there that just because they haven't been officially diagnosed by a therapist, psychiatrist.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that doesn't mean they don't fit the DSM somewhere. So should, you know, and then it brings it back to, you know, I have a family member who owns guns, probably shouldn't. He, you know, drinking problem. He leaves them out, you know, just not responsible with them. And, but it's not to say
But there's no mechanism to take him away from.
Right.
Because sometimes when he's not drinking and he's healthy, he's not that guy.
Right.
The question is, how do you catch him when he is that guy?
Right.
Right. I mean, he maybe doesn't fit the DSM criteria for maybe abuses alcohol, but he's not an alcoholic, you know. But how do we, you know, what's the bigger thing that we really want?
And I think, what is it, like you said, what is it that we're trying to create as individuals, as a society? How do we make it so that we can feel safe, you know, so we don't feel the need to have to go out and purchase a weapon or whatever it is to make us feel safe.
Right. And that we feel safe who we are, that the gun isn't making us feel safe. Mm-hmm. We're making ourselves feel safe.
Right.
And we're utilizing a weapon that supports us.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly there are arguments for having guns. I've cited on the show before one of my clients who is a veterinarian, and she needs a gun, and she lives on a farm and raises horses, and, you know, strangers will come to her house, strange men, she's a single woman, and so not only does she have to protect her animals from coyotes or whatever comes to attack, but it's also strange guy. I mean, so I understand it, but there's a difference between that and her getting in her own head that she's strong in who she needs to be. Because I'm a black belt, and I learned to be a black belt a long time ago.
Right.
But my power comes from not knowing how to hurt somebody else, but from knowing how to use my power for good, essentially, to not get trapped in what somebody else is doing or not doing. The power isn't out there. And so, yes, there's rational for either side, but I think the argument is often clouded by, you know, the Second Amendment or other kinds of false political things where people keep saying stuff but isn't true. you know, the, you know, I mean, I could give an argument really quickly about how the Second Amendment is not about people having more guns to bear arms part, but is, you know, is a well-regulated militia being necessary to security of the free state. And then what does that mean? And then is a militia really going to fight against the U.S. government?
Right.
Is you having a gun going to really protect you against the
Well, it's like when people, you take the freedom of speech and people just, they run wild with that one. You know, people seem to think freedom of speech means I can just, you know, attack other people. I can say whatever I want without having consequences. You know, sometimes it's...
Yeah, so you're still saying fire in a crowded room, you
right,
know?
Right,
you and know, so. And anyway, so we could certainly go through that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, arming everyone won't help. That's for sure. And assault weapons won't save you from somebody who's got more weapons, because there's always somebody who's more well-armed, more powerful, more another government, another this. It comes back to self-control.
Mm-hmm.
So apart from the arguments for or against having guns, I think it obfuscates the really big issue of what will make you feel safer and stronger today?
Mm-hmm.
What will fortify your relationship, for example, instead of trying to protect yourself from what somebody might or might not do to you?
Mm-hmm.
So think about even just our simple relationships.
Mm-hmm.
If we're living in fear that our partner is going to do something against us, it's impossible to have a healthy relationship. If we're living where we could trust ourselves and we know what we want to create and who we're creating things with because we can trust our own perception of how we're seeing the world, that gives us power to make a difference.
Absolutely. And it allows us to be constructive rather than destructive.
Or get lost in the fear.
Right.
So the bigger argument here is not about guns, but how can we feel that we're not living, again, in that negative space?
And how we can feel safe, how we feel safe with ourselves.
So how do we do that?
We ask ourselves what we want to create for ourselves, and we figure out how to get there. Whether that be through seeking therapy or surrounding ourselves with positive people, finding things that we enjoy, whatever it is that's going to help us feel safe, whatever it is that's going to help us get to that point that we
and
want to be.
Feeling stronger about right. Who we are and what we need to do for ourselves. Again, the assertion of power is not what keeps us safe. The fact that as a black belt I could hurt somebody isn't what keeps me safe. What keeps me safe is knowing my own body and knowing that I could trust myself, that I don't have to assert who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I can take care of me, and because I know and have confidence and strength in me, that I can then make a difference in this world. And isn't that all our goals?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, anyways...
Just some food for thought.
Food for thought. Have a great lunch, everyone. By the way, this is Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry and my great co-host Danielle today, talking about fear or guns or something of that major and how to get over that. These shows broadcast on KRUU at Tuesday night at 6:30 and rebroadcast Thursdays at 12:30. And like we said, they're on KRUU FM. You could look them up for old shows archived, as well as the YouTube channel, Arden Counseling Center's YouTube channel, or the Arden Center's website, where a bunch of the shows could be found as well. We're not trying to promote anybody or suggest anything, just if you're trying to find an FYI, if you're trying to look for some stuff. Anyways, thank you, everyone, and have a great day. Be positive, be strong, don't be afraid, know who you are, and find and create what you want to make your life work going forward. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.